This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome back to the weekly Raw review that I've been doing the last couple of weeks. And I'm excited to be back on the air because this is the first podcast that I'm doing since I've been back from Scotland here on my channel. And it kind of feels no matter if it's like 2 days or 1 day or God, in my case right now, 5 days, it always feels really weird whenever I don't do a podcast here on my channel, even though I'm uploading so many different pieces of content. And even though I did a Clash of the Castle review, it still feels weird not to be doing my daily shows that I normally do. So anyways, your girl is back and she's ready to rumble. Actually, no, that's way too much. But we need to get into Raw this week because this was a very good episode. And I feel like the last couple of weeks, all of May, I kind of felt like everything was sort of dry in pro wrestling land. And by that I mean is I didn't really feel like there were big storylines. There weren't really newsy things that were getting people excited. And I feel like this month, June, things have finally started to pick up. Like at least on the NXT side of things, things were picking up with the TNA thing, the Jordan Roxanne thing that they did. It started picking up with that. And then over on AEW, they're starting to get their groove back with MJF returning. So it really does feel like the pro wrestling landscape is starting to reheat up again, but specifically for WWE, it sort of felt just like there was nothing real major happening on the show. And today's episode of Raw had a ton of storylines. Like there are multiple storylines right now to be excited about for Raw. And I'm going to begin with the biggest one because that's the one that everybody wants to talk about. And it is that we officially had the Wyatt family reveal. And this is going to be totally different from anything on the show. We all know that a lot of the Bray Wyatt stuff is definitely a lot more sci-fi, I guess is the right word to use it. It's more stuff than you have to suspend your disbelief for. It's not something that is so easy to really get into, right? And so a lot of people have been really into all of the QR codes and things that WWE has been putting in. I'm really not one of those people. It's not really my thing, but I obviously follow it because it's my job. And I kind of just keep up with the key points, right? So I knew like a couple of weeks ago that June 17th was going to be the date that we would be seeing this reveal because that was something that they had put in their QR codes and people pieced it together and all of that. So that was very fun. People like to do that. However, I'm not really that person. I'd rather just have somebody tell me all about it and just so that I can get the main points. But I'm not willing to go through all of the verbiage and read everything up on it. But anyways, I gotta say, this was definitely totally different from what anything that I was expecting with this. I'm not even really sure what my expectations were of this because we've gotten so many spooky stuff with the Wyatt family and it's all been so different. And the last iteration that we saw of it and then the previous iteration before that was very, very unrealistic, right? Like there was a lot of things that you really had to suspend your disbelief. And it kind of got a lot of people that weren't really into it. And then there was people that were like, this is awesome, right? And then it kind of felt like it was starting to cater more to children. So this was a very cool day one. Day one for the Wyatt family reveal I thought was awesome, phenomenal. But I am sort of concerned as to how it's going to live on a daily basis and how it's going to blend in with the rest of the show. And so I guess that's something that we're going to have to wait and see. But what actually happened was we ended up seeing Nikki Cross. I'm just going to say it's Nikki Cross. It looked like Nikki Cross. So I'm going to say Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross comes out and she's like crawling on the floor in this really cool, like brown sort of like scrubs. It's really creepy. She comes out of the door that we always see. And then she points to the back. And when she points to the back, all of a sudden, it's like a haunted horror maze. So if any of you have been to Universal Studios or Not Scary Farm or Rob Zombie's mazes, I know all of these because I do these guys. Mazes are my thing. Like that's, I'm afraid of everything, like literally everything, but I'm not afraid of haunted mazes. Like that's something that I really, really enjoy doing every single Halloween time. And so this was literally that. They walked us through, and as you're walking through, you're seeing members of the Wyatt family. You're being introduced to them. But as you're being introduced to them, you're seeing the mess that they have made, right? There's all these bodies on the floor. And at first I thought, oh, it's just going to be a bunch of jobbers, right? They're just going to put a bunch of jobbers there, people that we don't even know, and they murdered them or whatever, right? We don't care because we're never going to see them again. But then apparently there was actual wrestlers there. I didn't see Braun Strowman. I thought I saw Braun Strowman, but then I'm like, oh, maybe it's not Braun Strowman, but I guess it was Braun Strowman. And I clearly saw Chad Gable. Chad Gable was honestly the only person I truly saw. It was very, very dark. So if you haven't seen this video, do not hate me for not seeing these things. My vision is not that great. You guys have seen me squinting on this podcast a million times. But anyways, Chad Gable is like bloodied up and just left there a mess, man. I mean, I'm pretty sure the guy was murdered. All of these people look like they were murdered. They weren't just knocked out for like 5 seconds. All these people looked dead. And that also included the production people, because that's gorilla position. That's where we see Triple H. That's where we see Shane Helms and all these other people. And they weren't there. And the whole entire room was destroyed, and there's sparks and all of these things happening. Like it was really tore the F up, right? And so I don't know what this means. Are they dead? Are they dead? Who's running the show? Are they now running the show? I don't know what this means. This is very confusing, but it was very, very cool. I'm not going to lie. It was very, very cool. I liked all of it. I'm excited to see what these people do. But at the same time, the other thing that I was thinking about, and I hate to draw this comparison, but I'm going to have to draw this comparison, and that is the comparison to the Bloodline. Now, the Bloodline, of course, they're not sci-fi. They don't do any of that type of stuff, right? But the Bloodline has been presented on SmackDown as these crazy men, right? They're supposed to be these madmen. They're bad. They're awful. But one of the things I had been saying on the SmackDown post show is that I don't really feel like they've come across that way, right? Like Paul Heyman saying they're bad men, but we really haven't seen them do anything too out of the ordinary, right? Yeah, they're not following the rules, sure, but they're not really doing anything too bad. And so now I'm looking at this and I'm going, damn, the Wyatt family just murdered everybody here. All of a sudden, to me, they are now the deadliest faction in WWE. They're the scariest faction in WWE. Why? Because they just murdered all these people. Now, what does this mean? I don't know what this means, guys, but that was legitimately the first thing that popped into my mind, was drawing these comparisons between the Bloodline and the Wyatt family reveal. So I don't know how they're going to follow this up on a weekly basis. I hope that I'm engaged in this on a weekly basis, because this is a very easy situation to lose a lot of people. Once it starts to cross a certain line, it's not going to be for some people. And again, this type of sci-fi fantasy stuff doesn't always hit, especially in a year like this where we don't really buy that type of stuff anymore. We're all smartened up already, right? We don't really believe that The Undertaker is dead anymore. And yes, I did believe that The Undertaker was dead when I was a child. And yes, I was terrified of The Undertaker. My original assumption, or my original hypothesis of The Undertaker as a child, was I thought that he was dead 24/7, except for when he wrestled. I thought he just rose from the dead to have a match. And then after the match, he went back to being dead. That's literally what I thought of The Undertaker. And I legitimately thought he was brothers with Kane. Oh, this is so embarrassing. But I was a child back in the day. So when you're a child and you have a childlike mind, it's very easy to get into this stuff. However, once you're an adult and you're in your 30s and you're paying bills and you're stressed out, it's not that easy to follow this type of stuff anymore. So again, we'll see what they're going to do and how they're going to follow this up on a weekly basis. But again, with just the debut itself, it was very freaking cool. I liked it. It was very cool and I wasn't anything that I expected. So that was really like the biggest thing from Raw. The next biggest thing I want to go to, let's go to Drew McIntyre, because Drew McIntyre quit on Monday Night Raw, which, by the way, that was the first thing that I said on Twitter was, good thing Drew McIntyre quit, because if he didn't, he would have been laid out just like everybody else was backstage. But Drew McIntyre is pissed off at everything that happened at Clash at the Castle. He's pissed at WWE, and he should be. He honestly should be. CM Punk put on a referee t-shirt, got in there, and costed him his match, right? And nobody did anything. There was no consequences, none of that. And Drew McIntyre is pissed at this, as he should be, because the company didn't do anything about it. In fact, they even showed a video of how CM Punk got the referee t-shirt. And I'm like, damn, it really was that easy for him to get that t-shirt. And so Drew McIntyre's pissed. He's mad at the company. And flat out, he quits. Now, I am expecting to see Drew McIntyre this Friday on SmackDown, because it is going to be in Chicago. And of course, Chicago's very own CM Punk is going to be there. He revealed that at the Clash at the Castle press conference. And so I'm assuming he's going to be there, but, or, and if he's not, let's just say he's not, then I think that this is probably just them killing some time until CM Punk is cleared and ready to go, because who knows how much longer he's still going to be out for. He gave an update on his triceps, but it's still not really firm as to when he's actually returning to Monday Night Raw. So we'll see what happens there. But I really liked the added touch that they did after this, because after he quit, they had him in the back talking with Triple H, and Triple H was like telling him, we couldn't really hear what he was actually saying, but he was basically trying to persuade him not to quit and not to be unreasonable, right? But Adam Pearce is the one that's following him and trying to talk him out of quitting, but Drew quits and he is gone, baby. He is gone. And therefore, he avoids death at the hands of the Wyatt family. So I'm liking the way that they executed that. And I thought it was kind of a, we're going to see what Drew McIntyre has up his sleeve. So I dug that for sure. All right. The next thing that I want to go ahead and get into is Seth Rollins' return. So thank goodness Seth Rollins is back. I think he is obviously somebody that we want to see on the show. There are a lot of big stars that have been out that have not been on weekly television. And I think that's part of the reason why so much of the programming in the entire month of May felt very, very flat. And so here we go. Seth Rollins is back. He wants his World Heavyweight Championship back. He sort of alludes to going and being part of the Money in the Bank. But before he could even get to that, Damian Priest comes out. And they have this back and forth that I thought was, it was fine. But it was primarily just Seth Rollins saying like, hey, we have a lot in common. And I didn't even realize how much they had in common. But Seth Rollins is right. He talked about them both being part of stables. Seth Rollins with the Shield. Damian Priest with the Judgment Day. They talked about both being Money in the Bank holders and winning their first titles at WrestleMania, both of which they did. Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31 in San Francisco. I was there. And then Damian Priest at WrestleMania 40. I was there. My gosh, just realized how far apart in time that was. But he told them, the one thing that you don't have is that you haven't grown a pair of balls. And so, of course, Damian Priest takes that and says, you know, you don't have to wait. You don't have to go and be in the Money in the Bank. How about you get a match against me at Money in the Bank, because I wanted to cash in on you. So Seth Rollins versus Damian Priest is happening at Money in the Bank. We all know that Gunther is having a World Heavyweight Championship match at SummerSlam. So it begs the question, what is going to happen at Money in the Bank? I feel like part of me is still leaning towards Damian Priest winning. I think Damian Priest is still going to defeat Seth Rollins, only because I had been thinking all along Damian Priest versus Gunther. Gunther's going to defeat Damian Priest and become world heavyweight champion. And I think I'm still stuck on that outcome, that scenario. And I think for that reason, Damian Priest getting a win over Seth Rollins would give him that extra boost heading into a match with Gunther. So I feel like it's still going to be Damian Priest at SummerSlam, but there is a possibility it could be Seth Rollins because, well, first of all, who doesn't want to see Seth Rollins versus Gunther? If it is Seth Rollins, I imagine it's going to be a very, very quick World Heavyweight Championship reign because Gunther is winning that at SummerSlam. And if he doesn't, I'm going to be pissed. Gunther needs to win that bout at freaking SummerSlam. No ands, ifs, buts, or coconuts. All right, so that was that picture. Moving on, the next thing that I want to go ahead and get into is we had Chad Gable versus Braun Strowman. And this was basically this all happened because Chad Gable wants another shot at the Intercontinental Championship. And Adam Pearce puts him in this match against Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman gets him with the power slam, gets the win. And basically, it's what happens afterwards that is really the thing to talk about. And the thing to talk about is that Otis has finally stood up for himself against Chad Gable. He finally did it. And it wasn't as violent, I think, as a lot of people might have expected. I think they were expecting him to like punch him, beat him, do all of that. It was really just like a big shove, but it really felt like that was it. Like that was the moment right there. And this, what caused all of this was that Chad Gable was being a jerk and he kicked off Maxine's crutch. Kicked off her crutch. And that's really messed up. I thought that was a terrible thing to do. And then he slaps Akira Tozawa. And finally, Otis has had it. He pushes him. He throws him on the freaking ground. And then later on in a backstage segment, he tells them that he is done with him. It is over. And so, again, I do think it needed to be a lot stronger. I do think the attack should have been more like forceful because I had some people on Instagram that were like, no, that's not the official turn. And I'm like, yeah, it's the official turn. And so the fact that people weren't really that sure if it was the official turn or not suggests that it should have been done a lot more strongly. So we'll see what happens there. But unfortunately, Chad Gable was one of the guys from that was taken out and bloodied and left to be murdered at the hands of the Wyatt family. So I don't know what this means for that specific storyline with Chad Gable and Otis moving forward. I have no idea what that means or what's going to happen there. But Otis, Maxine, and Akira Tozawa, they pack their bags and they head out. All right, the next thing I want to get into is we had some Money in the Bank qualifiers. We had Io versus Kiana James versus Zelina Vega. I was very happy that Io won. This was the right way to go. Io had to win this. However, they may or may not be teasing Liv Morgan versus Zelina Vega for Money in the Bank. I'm not really too crazy about that matchup because it's already a given that Zelina Vega is not going to defeat Liv Morgan. And I feel like they constantly set her up that way. Like no one ever believes Zelina Vega's winning. And so for that reason, I'm not really digging the idea of them doing that, but it looks like that's where it's headed. But Io does get her win in the Money in the Bank qualifier. Good, because she is, she's somebody that you're going to want in a ladder match for sure. And Sami Zayn, by the way, oh, you know what? Before I get to Sami Zayn, I need to get into the other qualifier for the men's. And the men's qualifier was Rey Mysterio versus Jay versus Finn. And Jey Uso won this. He ended up hitting Finn with the Jey Uso splash. And Rey Mysterio was taken out by the Judgment Day. So that sort of left Jey the opportunity to go and hit the splash on Finn. And so Jay qualifies for him with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Ladder match. I think Jay is winning the Money in the Bank only because I really do think WWE wants to slap that Yeet logo all over those briefcases, man. I know they want to sell those at WWEshop.com. So I know for a fact, or not even for a fact, I can't say for a fact, but I'm 99.9% sure Jay is winning just so we can get Yeet Money in the Bank briefcases. Of course, we don't really have anybody else in the men's Money in the Bank yet. So I'm just going to stay with Jay. He's so far my only prediction because he's the only one in it. Afterwards, once we get more people, I will add, change my prediction or not, but right now it's definitely looking like it's Jay. But since we're on the topic of the Judgment Day, we had another backstage segment with Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan. And this is funny because it's basically just Dom. He's looking for his cowhide vest or whatever, and he can't find it anywhere. Of course, you know, Liv Morgan has it, and she corners him in a hallway, a dimly lit hallway. And she tells him, if you want your jacket back, you got to take it off. And of course, Dominic Mysterio, he's like, okay. And he starts to unzip her. But before he can get too far, Damian Priest comes down and it's like, stop it. And then he forces her to, like, he finally takes it off of her, but in a non-romantic way, takes off the vest and heads his merry way. And Damian Priest tells Liv Morgan, like, you need to leave him alone. And Liv Morgan, he's like, no, I'm not going to leave him alone. And Damian Priest is like, she's a loca. She's crazy. That was very, very funny. But I cannot wait for the moment that Dominic just gives in to the seduction of Liv Morgan. Like, the second he gives in to that, I cannot freaking wait. So that's going to be very exciting to see. Now I'm going to go ahead and get into the Sami Zayn, Braun Breaker, Sheamus situation. So Sami Zayn is out there. Of course, he's the Intercontinental Champion. Braun Breaker comes out. He wants the Intercontinental Championship. And I'm thinking, yes, that is our new upcoming IC champ right there. But then Sheamus comes out. And I'm like, oh, shit, we're going to get Sheamus and Braun Breaker. And they make it for tonight on Raw. And I'm thinking, oh, man, like, this is going to be great. And I will be honest, I was very surprised by the lack of chemistry that both guys had. I did not think that Braun Breaker. I did not think that Braun Breaker and Sheamus had the chemistry you thought they would. I thought their match was going to be like phenomenal. It was okay. It was fine, but it wasn't anywhere near the level of what I think most of you might have cooked up in your minds between both of these guys. There was an unfortunate spot in which Braun Breaker tried to go for a Frankensteiner and he slipped. I posted my reaction to that on Instagram if you want to watch it. It's kind of hilarious because I just kept saying the F word a bunch by accident. Check it out, whatever. And so I did like the running knee from Sheamus. I thought he killed it with that. But unfortunately, after the Frankensteiner slip, the little botch that happened in the match, I feel like they didn't have enough left in the match to really kind of erase your memory of what happened. And I wanted them to sort of sweep me away into this really good matchup. And that never actually happened because Ludwig Kaiser comes in and attacks Sheamus. And so it ends in a DQ. And so I felt like we never got to see this match really peak. And then the unfortunate botch sort of took the moment away, I guess, because even just like after the botch happened, I felt like the crowd was like awkwardly silent after that. And so it sort of left you going like, oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah. So I kind of hope they run this back, and I hope that they run it back and have a better match, because I cannot live in a world where Braun Breaker and Sheamus do not have chemistry with one another. That is a world that I refuse to live in. So we'll see. All right. So moving on from this, let's see what else we got to get into. Oh yeah. Sticking with the Judgment Day, Carlito defeated Dragon Lee. I didn't really love it too much because I haven't really been digging Carlito since his return. He's had like two funny moments, and that's been about it. So I'm like, ugh. Plus, I also feel like they don't really do anything with Dragon Lee. They hype him up. He's like someone important for a week, and then nothing ever comes of it. And I'm just like, just tell us you're not going to do anything with Dragon Lee. Like, just tell us already. So I feel like they never set up Dragon Lee for success. And that's where my problem kind of lies. But there you go. That was that. And the next thing we need to get into, we had a quick women's tag team match, Kaden and Katana versus Dakota Kai and Kairi Sane. It seems like they're teasing a breakup with Damage Control. And realistically, I do not want to see Damage Control break up just yet. I think they're such a cool act, and I'm so tired of breakups happening with groups and happening so fast. I feel like it's just not the time yet to break up Damage Control, but that sort of feels like what they're going to be doing probably sooner rather than later. We'll see. All right. The other topic that I need to get into, let me see. I kind of talked about everything already. I don't think I missed anything. No, I actually got everything. Yeah, there you go. That was WWE Raw. And that was basically your quick little mini review. I've been doing these on audio versions only. However, I'm now also adding the video for members only of the DWO on YouTube. So for the video version, you'll get it on YouTube if you are a member. And then for the audio, you just get it normally on podcasts as an additional bonus for being an audio listener. So I hope you guys appreciate these mini Raw reviews. And thank you guys so much. Please do not forget to check out the Clash at the Castle content. There's so much stuff up there. The CM Punk scrum, Triple H scrum, Isla and Alba who won the titles. And then Damian Priest also spoke. Plus I have interviews with Bayley, Bianca Belair, Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, Drew McIntyre. Check all of those out, guys. As you all know, I fund myself when I fly out to these trips, and the only way that I make my money back is having people watch my videos on YouTube. So please go there, help me out so that I can recoup my finances. So I can recoup my finances. That sounds funny. Head on over there, watch those videos. It really helps me out a whole lot. And of course, I will be back for your normal slate of podcasts this week. So if you guys missed them last week, don't worry. I am back, baby. All right, everyone, have a happy week, and I will catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.